Designed for Living Talk Radio Show on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International, AWOPTalk247.com, where you can listen while you work. You are listening to this weekly Monday broadcast show at 10:30 Pacific Standard Time, aired again at 4:30 Pacific Standard Time, hosted by registered nurse, marriage and family therapist, master life coach, and author Michelle Downey. And I am your co-host, Bob Womack. This week, Michelle is interviewing Mr. Jerry Collins. Jerry is a former United States Air Force paratrooper, a retired San Diego police officer, a chemical dependency counselor, an adolescent program director, a licensed educational and psychologist and consultant. So let me get back to Michelle to start her interesting interview with Jerry Collins, who is an amazing man of power.
Hey, Jerry, I'm so glad that you're willing to do another interview with me. Actually, I'm excited because both of us have had to do a lot of teaching around the subject that we're going to be talking about today, because Valentine's Day is coming up, and the subject of love is something that people are most likely to be interested in, especially the listeners on radio show.
Well, that's pretty interesting, I think, to talk about that in relationship to a certain day that we're supposed to be loving.
Yeah, it's at least there's a day that we honor the fact that, we're honoring the fact that we're supposed to be loving. And I think it's a wonderful thing. But I know that with the kind of populations that you and I work with, we basically have worked over many years with kind of the hard to love and the difficult behavioral problems.
Yeah, with I really enjoy doing working with that population of people with chemical dependency or mental health issues. Regarding to love and caring for others around us, because, like Valentine's Day really fits in with what we should be doing every day. So it's really kind of just a continuation of what we should have done the day before Valentine's Day and the day after. And I think if we emphasize the day too much, we lose that fact that, every day of the year we should be loving to the best degree we can go.
Oh, that's such a good point. And it is true. And, one of the things that I know that working with teenagers and
what's
certainly
what's
adults.
What's fun? they're great teachers for you and I, aren't they?
Oh, boy, they are. They are our best teachers. They challenge us in every possible way. And
they find new ways, too.
And they find new ways. There's never we're never completely learned in that area.
Oh no.
But one of the things that I've always noticed with a lot of people is they always think, well, if they were just loved enough, if their parents had loved them enough, if my parents had loved me enough, if there was enough love that was shown.
Well, I think love is it represents anything that you could be greedy with, you could become addicted to. It's a feeling of feeling good, just like drugs, alcohol. People attempt to feel good using those type of things. Love is it's a real thing that provides real feelings, and with that in mind, if people seek only that, then it becomes destructive and unmanageable.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Greek word. They have three different words in the Greek language for love. They had eros, philos, and agape. Mm-hmm. And agape was, the point of it was that kind of love, the brotherly love. Mm-hmm. And it was, it's a beautiful thing to have that kind of love. And I do agree that love can end up being an addiction. the sex and love addicts, and people are addicted to a person and they think they're loving, but what they're doing is they're busy trying to control and direct somebody else's life. And that's one of the problems that I saw a lot with the parents of the teenagers was, you know, if they could just give them the right direction and show them how much they love them, then somehow the children wouldn't have the mental illness or the addiction problems. And
so love becomes, with a parent, especially having an adolescent that's addicted or, you know, into the being obsessed with something that's causing unmanageability, people get lost. And I think, again, you know, every day that ought to be a model that we try to use, like Valentine's Day, to have people say and talk about using that experience every day. What is it really? Sex is a big thing that gets pulled into Valentine's Day. And I think that's really kind of a misnomer, because love is so much more than just sex.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was the Eros part of the Greek definition. You know, and the other thing is, people that have disabilities of any kind, emotional, mental, physical, it doesn't have anything to do with how much they're loved or not loved. People can end up with a mental disability or an addiction regardless of whether they were loved or not. You can get somebody that comes from a very wonderful family who was given absolutely everything, and that person still ends up being addicted. And it has a lot more to do with the genetics and other factors than it does if they were loved or not.
So it's a way it's a way it appears, and you can see it through the love addiction or the behaviors that go on behind it. A parent checking up on kids all day long, thinking constantly so they can't sleep at night. You know, that love, that person would use that type of love and does probably insidiously with not just the son or the daughter, but with all people that they're close to especially. So it's a pattern, I think,
right,
when someone becomes unmanageable with love that fits
right
to every part of their life.
Well, they start looking at the other people rather than at themselves. But I also think that people need to give themselves, parents especially, need to give themselves a break,
mm-hmm,
and give themselves, you know, just absolute permission that it wasn't because they were bad parents because they didn't love their child.
Right.
I mean, in many cases, it was completely distinct from whether this child was loved or not. This person ended up with the mental illness or the addiction. So, you know, you and I are talking about several different aspects of,
sure,
of the love, and I think it all leads to probably the spiritual hole in the soul, which,
mm-hmm,
all addictions have, which is basically that they're trying to fix what's wrong with something out there, whether it's gambling or shopping or, you know, drinking or medicating, whatever whatever they're doing, work addiction, to fix what's wrong inside. And basically the only way that hole can be filled is spiritually.
Right.
So you have to learn that there is a higher power that you can be loved by and you can love, and there's a relationship there. And that's really hard to discuss because so many people have so many religious thoughts, and spirituality is very different than, you know, the religion that we're talking
about.
Could
be a very
about
spiritual day, Valentine's Day or any holiday that we're sharing with family, and that's,
yeah,
kind of what it represents, except Valentine's Day would be, I think, more specific to lovers, to man and wife, to man and man if they're living together,
mm-hmm,
as a couple.
Couple, yeah.
Woman and woman if they're living together as a couple. So it's more of a narrow area that's emphasized, and that's, again, where we can get lost with trying to manipulate or get manipulated or thinking in our own mind, what can we do to feel better about my spouse or that sort of thing, and really not have the thought being, what can I do to share some of me today with that person? How can I help them? So not what I can get or receive, but more of the giving of love and that feeling we have of caring. So I think Valentine's Day would be a good time to express that and look at the whole year, too.
Boy, is that the truth. You know, it's that really is a very different way of looking at things because most people are not taught to be of service. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't have somebody on Valentine's Day, or I didn't get my flowers or chocolate, or I don't have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I don't have a husband. And very, very easy to get into self-pity.
Oh, it is.
And just hate the holiday and hate the anything that reminds them. But, you know, one of the ways that you can get out of yourself and your ego is to find somebody and be of service to them. It could be even just a smile or doing something nice for somebody, asking how somebody else is doing.
Yeah, it doesn't depend on how much you spend and how beautiful the gift is.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where, you know, the culture misses the whole point behind, you know, a good expression of Valentine's Day. And, you know, it's not about the jewelry that somebody buys somebody. It's about what are you expressing? What are you showing the person that you love? That, you know, what are you grateful for? How can you be of service? Those are the kind of things that just don't even really go into most people's heads. And starting with a gratitude list, being grateful.
Yeah, so I mean, there's anything that you think about in our programs or in our daily living that we can improve ourselves in would apply, such as you were just talking about, surrendering and realizing that we aren't the center of the universe, that love is a two-way road. There are many times we express ourselves through the resentments, too, on that haven't been resolved. So anyway, our culture really doesn't support the spiritual love that you're talking about and I'd mentioned earlier. And I really, really would like to see more of an emphasis put on that rather than to go buy a diamond or go get the candy. It's the materialistic part of Valentine's Day or any celebration that our country has been too much on the materialistic side and not the feeling and connection of two people.
I agree. You know, I was also thinking about how the expression of love, when we're trying to get out of ourselves and we're trying to help somebody else, you know, there's such things as tough love, where we aren't giving and catering in to every little whim that somebody has because we want them to like us. But we actually stand up for what we believe with integrity are the boundaries we need to set. And
oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, that is a form of love, too, that tough love. Even not allowing people to be abusive or rude or walking away. Something as simple as that is self.
You can't see it. You know, it's like something that you can't touch or see, what you're talking about. And that boundary we lose, we don't get a chance to see too often in this culture, isn't supported. Because if I looked at two people in love and saw someone giving tough love to the other, you know, how you give it is with love. And with love wouldn't be cussing, it wouldn't be violent, it wouldn't be, but it could be very harsh as other people see it. You know, a kid that has been stealing and, you know, 16-year-old has been stealing and is completely unmanageable at home because they're using or whatever reason it could be, mental health, to be able to put that person into a manageable situation, into the right environment, could look horrible. You know, it's like calling the police to arrest the son or daughter to have them own up to what they did so they could move on. So love, in that sense, you don't think of, I don't, and I'm sure others don't think of that as love, but I do. Really, really support tough love when it's needed.
I think that's the hardest kind of love because it's easy to comply with other people's wishes or be worried about what other people think, especially in a family situation when you have a difficult problem with the child or even a family member. These are definitely not things that are supported by our culture. And that's why a lot of people need, specifically, they need some coaching in this area, because it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to do this alone. There's got to be people with you trying to help you. I know for myself, whenever I've had to do tough love in my own family and with my clients, it's never easy. I never want to do it. It's never something I look forward to or invite. But when it becomes necessary, you know, I pray about it, I talk about it, I get feedback from people that I believe in. And then, you know, I just get really strong that this is the right thing to do, and then I do it. And then I talk to the person when I'm done to make sure that I did the right thing. And it's very challenging. I know.
Well, as a police officer, I know that our busiest days, when I worked the streets and patrol, the busiest days we had would be holidays. It would be Christmas. It would be Valentine's Day. Because usually the emphasis is on the family unit, and people come together as families. And the part of tough love is it could be seen as, I feel really grateful when I see a family getting into chaos. As long as there's support around that family that's in chaos, and they can work it out with support, with tough love and other mechanisms, then I see healing occur. So it's like you said, I think tough love and seeing people on holidays really, really kind of bring forth the pressure of the holiday, bring forth behaviors that can be worked on. And love doesn't look good sometimes when you're seeing it.
Yeah.
As long as someone isn't hurt, excuse me, my throat's a little dry here. as long as love doesn't hurt somebody else physically or mentally, it could be a very good way of healing. And it doesn't look like love at times.
I think love could be very, it's deceiving, because we grow up with our version of what love looks like from, most of us got our ideas from the television set, and that was a complete fantasy, and not even close to reality.
And that occurs now even more with technology and computers, you know, getting off into the technology and the connection with love and Valentine's Day, you know, it's changing our whole culture and how we see special days, I think. Instant access to so many different types of media and music and video, movies, that I think people are indoors more and really not connecting with another human. It's more cell phones and texting, like I said, videos and the way it's going with our our computer background. So I see it. Yeah, I see it as being love as being something that is evolving. That's a good way to put it, I guess, with our culture as it evolves in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that as occurring now, being difficult, especially for old farts like me, who really never grew up in the computer age. It's interesting to watch how the younger people have changed because of the technology, and love looks differently in them.
Yeah,
you kind of get what I'm saying about that?
I do. And on the other hand, there's some wonderful things, because people in remote areas of the world are able to connect with people that they would never otherwise have any opportunity ever to connect. I remember years ago I had a pen pal, and I was so excited, and she was from the Philippines, and we wrote back and forth. Now we can Skype someone in the Philippines or in China, and we can connect with people with certain interests. We could take classes virtually, and believe it or not, I was on a class today where I was being very quiet, because I'm kind of an old fart too, and I'm not used to the online stuff. And,
you're a younger old fart than I am, though.
Yes, right. Yeah, I am younger than you. Just remember that.
Yes.
So anyway, she, you know, she was having a group call and we were listening in, and she said, I want to hear from somebody I haven't heard from a while. And I'm thinking, she's not going to call on me. She goes, Michelle, I know you're on this call. And I went, oh, no.
That's tough love in a forum, isn't it?
Yes. And she involved me in the conversation, and I felt a part of when I spoke. And, you know, she did a lot of things to draw me in. And it was a wonderful experience because in a normal classroom, I would be the quiet person anyway. I wouldn't want to raise my hand. And somebody would have to call me out so I could be included. And she did the same thing, this virtual, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't see her, but I could hear her, and I could feel I was a part of. So
I think we're losing some of that, though, don't you, Michelle, with the energy part, where we can communicate much better. We can talk to many more people with computers and technology, but we don't have the face-to-face, which there's an energy involved with that that can't be replicated on a computer screen.
Oh, no.
So that's kind of something that, with love, that's sort of kind of turning. I don't say it's turning in a bad way. I think there's good and bad with it both. Like you mentioned, more people that we can get a hold of, and we can communicate much quicker and better. But
well, like a massage. It's not going to be done virtually. I mean, maybe someday we will, but I need a hands-on massage. I can feel that person's energy. And, you know, the other thing, too, is people get together. They really need to socially get together. And a lot of people don't realize how lucky and grateful they really can be because there's people within the small arena of area of where they live that they actually are in communication with these people. And I think part of what I'm going to do this Valentine's Day is just communicate to them how I appreciate them, how much I appreciate them. And even though we go through our day-to-day business and our tasks, and sometimes we don't, you know, meet for coffee as often or whatever, I still want them to know that just talking to them, you know, whether it's once in a while or not, when I see them, it's just like no time has passed at all. Like there is no distance.
Yes.
And those are very special friendships. And that's another way that I can express love on Valentine's Day, this particular Valentine's Day.
Makes us have to go inside and figure out who we're close with. What we feel about the people that we're close with, and then, like you said, be able to share that in a valuable, real way. And then how we do that is determines, you know, really how we are in the world. So love is very powerful and includes everything that we do, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. The other day I went through a drive-up and I got a coffee, and the man looked at me, and he said, "It's a beautiful evening, isn't it?" And he just had the biggest smile. And I was so caught up in myself, I totally didn't even see it was a beautiful evening. And I said, "Yes, it is, and thank you." That in itself was an expression of love.
Absolutely, yes.
Another man I did something with, he said, "Well, God bless you." And you could see he genuinely meant it. Something was not rote. And it was just such simple interactions with people.
People you'll never see again. That's what's interesting with what you're bringing up.
Yes. Just the smile on this one person's face, that made me happy for the whole day. That person really saw me. We didn't even do anything. We just smiled. But these are very simple things. But if I'm staying with myself in the moment appreciating, then I can be present to give and receive love. If I'm off in my own little world worrying about stuff, I can very easily miss that moment, that opportunity to show and receive love.
So you're talking about another area we look at is the mindfulness of our love. That's really, really, really important. And it also is more genuine when it's mindful in the moment. Here in front of us, not going inside to figure it out.
No.
And spontaneity of just saying and smiling and, you know, being present. That's really, really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about, maybe we have 5 minutes if there's anything more we wanted to add. I really appreciate us having this talk about
love. This is better than a cup of coffee for me. I really wasn't functioning at 100% yet, and to be able to be on your show and get my mind stimulated is better than a cup of coffee, much better.
Oh, that's
good. You know, that's
thank
the
you,
form
Gary.
Of how we give to each other without knowing it. So I do appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Gary, and I appreciate having your wisdom and your generosity, and thank you again for being a guest on my show. Okay.
Have a wonderful Valentine's Day, and I love you.
I love you too, Jerry. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Until then, let life be well and good.